going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Listening to the best of the Browns.
Ball game over! Browns win! Browns win!
A weekly mix of 92.3 The Fan's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Let's get to Mason Graham, who joins us right now on the phone. And I knew we had some problems there. Things are going crazy in Green Bay right now. We got a landline for Mason Graham, so he joins us right now on the show. Thank you very much for joining us today, my friend.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on being a Cleveland Brown. What's it feel to be not just a Cleveland Brown, but also an NFL player?
I mean, it's just a dream come true. Everything's come full circle here, and I'm just glad to be a part of Cleveland and the Dog Pound.
Mason, you're going to line up and you're going to see Myles Garrett, Mike Hall, and all these guys. What's that feeling going to be like to play alongside those guys?
I mean, just a blessing to play alongside those players. You know, I want to play, you know, with the best and, you know, play against the best. So, you know, I feel like that D-line is going to run the team and especially the defense.
Mason, when you think about, you know, coming to the Cleveland Browns, obviously a teammate of yours, Zach Zinter, came here last year. Have you guys gotten a chance to talk? And I'm sure he's excited about having you here. You guys probably battled a lot in practice. Has he given you kind of any pointers on what it's like to come here and be a Cleveland Brown?
No, I've had a lot of texts and stuff come through, but I've seen, you know, Zach's texts come through. I haven't got back to him yet. I've been doing the media stuff. I'm sure I'm going to get back to him. And, you know, I'm happy to see him when I get there and, you know, ready for it.
Is it nice to have a familiar face like that, though, just knowing you're coming into a locker room where, hey, I got at least somebody that I've been in the trenches with?
Oh, yeah, for sure it is.
Mason Graham joining us here, the number 5 overall pick of the NFL draft, the brand new Cleveland Brown, the defensive tackle for the Cleveland Browns. Mason, what's this week been like for you? It's Thursday, it's culminated, now you're an NFL football player. Were there nerves starting on Monday, or how have you been feeling all week?
No, I didn't really have nerves until, you know, just when I got here. But, you know, just, you know, thankful and, you know, God's grace that I came to Cleveland. And I was kind of, you know, once they traded that pick, I had a good feeling, you know, based on, you know, my connections on how I went on 30 visits. So just a blessing, honestly.
Mason, have you had a chance to talk to Jim Schwartz?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when he was definitely on that call when they called. So Andrew Berry was there, and then Coach Stefanski, and then, you know, Coach Schwartz, and then Coach Jock. So, I mean, I have a good relationship with them already, so it was cool to hear from them again and finally, you know, get picked up by them.
when you hear your defensive coordinator and your defensive line coach tell you that your job is to just basically get into the backfield and disrupt, you don't have to catch, you don't have to read and react, is that music to your ears, especially given kind of what your skill set lends itself to?
Yeah, for sure. I feel like, you know, just my skill set will, you know, transition really quickly to Cleveland, and just the way they play. I'm an aggressive player, and, you know, I haven't played this type of defense before, but I'm pretty sure it'll be easy transition to, you know, just mess people up and attack.
Yeah, it sounds like you're going to have a bunch of fun out there. Mason, tell the Browns fans, what are they getting with you? What can they expect to see out of you on Sundays?
Just a dominant player that's going to, you know, boost up the team and the front. So, you know, Coach Schwartz always talks about, you know, the D-line is the engine. I want to be, you know, part of that engine, and I want to, you know, I want to make this team go.
What is it on the D-line you think you do best?
I feel like just playing the game. You know, I play the game differently, the run and pass. You know, I excel really highly at both. So I feel like, you know, I'm a good overall player, great overall player, and, you know, I can fit into any scheme, especially this one.
Mentally, emotionally, what do you bring to a locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I've always, you know, been a great teammate. You know, a lot of, you know, my best friends. I have a lot of best friends and stuff. So those guys, I've done a lot. I'm a good teammate, and, you know, I just want to come into the locker room and, you know, fit in and be, you know, someone that my teammates can rely on come Sunday.
Mason, I imagine in high-leverage situations, you are double-teamed a lot, especially probably in big passing situations. What's it like to know that that's not going to happen? They're sliding protection to Myles Garrett. You're going to be one-on-one. I mean, when's the last time you got to go be blocked one-on-one in basically every pass rush that you had?
Yeah, it doesn't really happen that often, but, you know, coming in, I'm going to take advantage of those opportunities that I do get, you know, playing with Miles, and, you know, all the guys along the front. So I feel like there's a lot of opportunity for me, especially.
Mason, who are some of the players that you look up to? Who are some guys that you model your game after?
I've always, you know, growing up, I played linebacker, so I, you know, looked up to guys like James Harrison, Ray Lewis. But, you know, coming down to the D-line, I like guys. Obviously, I watch Myles Garrett a lot, but he plays on the edge. And then I like guys like Jalen Carter and Kobe Turner, kind of inside. You know, I feel like I play similar to them.
So you're saying that since you got some linebacker in you, we can expect you to drop in coverage, correct?
Oh, yeah, I've done that before. I got some tape.
Mason Graham joining us on the show.
Mason, a lot of people talk about your background. I know you on the conference call there about being a wrestler. You played hoops, track, kind of you were just a hashtag athlete. What did you like about wrestling, and how has that kind of translated to what you're able to do in the trenches?
Yeah, wrestling has helped me a lot. It was, you know, my first thought was just going to do wrestling just for off-season training, you know, be in shape come time for football. But I started to, you know, excel more and more into it, and I feel like it just really helps on the interior, especially O-line, D-line, you know, just feeling leverage, different body weight, and, you know, that's really what happens, you know, as a D-tackle and O-lineman, so.
So my father, this is a question I'm going to ask you, this is for my father, actually toured the world playing rugby. He was a hooker, believe it or not. I see here you played club rugby for 8 years in middle and high school, the Black Bay Rhinos, the Raptors. What position were you? Were you a big prop, or what were you in rugby? And it was that a game that you actually enjoyed because of, you know, a lot of violence, no pads?
Oh, yeah, I really enjoyed rugby. I didn't play a hooker or prop, but I played, it was called eight-man, so I was the more athletic guy in the back.
Athletic. Oh, man.
Ball, run with it. I could take the ball, run with it, or love pass it. You know, do whatever you want.
So rugged. We love
he
it.
He can do it all.
I'm about to say, we got an ATH.
Yeah, right here. Tackle. Hashtag athlete. Let's go.
Mason, we want you to enjoy this night. Congratulations again. We're looking forward to seeing you here in Cleveland soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mason Graham, the brand new Cleveland Brown, a defensive tackle for your Cleveland Browns.
Tone! You got your running shoes on? It's time for your victory lap, my friend.
Come on, Kenny.
It's time for your victory lap.
That's not what this is about.
That is exactly what this is about. Step up and do it.
Maybe old Limo would have taken the time, made it all about himself.
Do it now.
Not today. There's too many important things. It's too many key moves, including the biggest one, without a doubt, yesterday, for the Browns making that move. And, you know, it was interesting because the wife wanted to watch the finale of The Pit, and I said,
No.
I said, Sarah, it's draft night.
It is draft night.
And then little birdie told me after that trade, you can go to bed if you want to. The draft is over tonight for the Cleveland Browns. So the intrigue wasn't there for me nearly as much at the end of the first round.
Being humble and take your victory lap.
Well, you deserve it.
Champion.
Why would I do that?
Up your nose with the rub.
Take.
Holes and a
take your victory lap. Do it now.
You
come
know,
on.
I was always told you got to act like you've been there before.
Stop this. Stop it now.
That'll be a while.
Stop acting like you've been there before.
It's been a while since I've been there before. I think you got to go a long time back. But in this case,
I demand jackassery.
Can I say this, Kenny?
Yeah.
To billboard it, if you're looking for the headline, you're seeing a lot of grades that are out there. I'm seeing the fan resentment and outrage that was going on last night. I wonder if overnight that calms down a little bit. 216-474-0092. Can I call this the most responsible Browns draft that I have seen?
Wow. Responsibilities.
I am somebody who's gotten to know responsibilities over the last few years of my life.
Oh, man.
This isn't wild running and gunning Browns and Lima.
There you go.
It's
boy.
Changed. It's changed. And unfortunately, I'm just telling you, if you're wondering what tipped me off or why I came to this conclusion that I did over the last, you know, really week and a half about what I thought the Browns might do in this.
There's people posting videos of you from a while ago right now.
Yeah. You know, if you're wondering what truly this tipped it off, it's just the way that who do you think controlled the draft board? We knew that Cam Ward was going number one overall.
Uh-huh.
Once that was the case, who controlled the draft board for everybody else? It was the Browns. Why was it that you were hearing more and more about this ascendance of Travis Hunter becoming a generational talent, not only in that he could do both corner and wide receiver, but that he became like the number one wide receiver prospect that we have seen in the NFL? Where do you think all that was coming from? He was a good player. He was a great player. He was a Heisman winner. He was one of the great college players, but he wasn't that when it came to wide receiver. And when I kept hearing that, I said, this has propaganda from a team that would want to entice somebody to move up written all over it.
Propaganda.
And what did they do? What did they do, Kenny?
Wow.
They found a team that when people talk about worst organizations in the NFL, right? Or worst setups or worst owner. What do you hear all the time? You do hear the Browns. I hate to say it. You do hear the Browns that until they win, and they're not going to be winning football games this year. You hear the Browns. You also hear Jacksonville. You hear Jacksonville all the time. And they got a team to trade up in what was universally considered a bad draft with the lowest amount of blue chippers ever. They extracted number 36 in this year's draft. They extracted a fourth rounder. Most importantly, Kenny, what did they get?
They got a first next year.
Come on.
They got a first next year.
That is a coup.
So when they
That's an all-time draft coup.
When this happened, I said last night, because we were on last night for live coverage like we'll be on live tonight at 7 p.m. for second round coverage of the NFL draft. All along, your University Hospitals, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, and your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. And I thought, I immediately thought, I go, social media is off because the cuss words are going to start. That's the way it's going to go. I know that people were nonplussed, to say the least, over at the stadium last night. I go, this is a move. I think I'm going to be right about this. This is a move that a lot of people are hating right now that they're going to understand tomorrow morning at 6. They're going to understand it because they'll probably take a quarterback tonight at some point. All right, that's clear. But the arms race for a quarterback started last night. And if you get a first-round pick in 2026, I said it with you because you were the one who spearheaded it about the trade down. I said it with you. If you get a first-round pick, you got to do it because the arms race is going to begin. And remember, you saw what the Rams did later on in the first round.
Yes.
They traded out. Well, I mean, because the Falcons are nuts. So they traded out of that pick. They couldn't say it quickly fast enough, which again, or they couldn't say yes fast enough, which again, I don't know what Les Snead thinks about those picks now. He probably loves those picks. They're going to have another first rounder next year. Matt Stafford can only play for so long. You're already seeing it begin that there's going to be teams where, you're probably going to finish behind the Rams in standings. So you'll be higher, but you want to make sure you have everything that you could possibly get if you believe that you're going to fall in love with the quarterback. It's a year away. It's a whole year away. I don't want to get too nuts, but you had to do something like this because this is also, and I 216-474-0092. Folks, this is still, this is you paying the fiddler. I hate to point it out here. This is you paying the fiddler for a terrible trade with Deshaun Watson. You've had 3 years. I'm sorry to steal the thunder tone. You've had 3 years where you've had no first-round picks. You've had some developmental guys. Some have developed okay. Some have developed not at all. You've had those guys, but you haven't had first-round picks. You needed four more first-round picks, and clearly you needed somebody that you could trust as a solid football player. And I don't think that Mason Graham, I know that, Andrew Berry talked to us last night, and he talked about the pass rushing part of being a defensive tackle. Guys, I think he'll have 2 sacks this year. Yeah. What I think he's going to do is he's going to be able to clog things up where guys cannot run away from 95 all the time. He can make a little bit more of an impact there, put you in third down situations, and hopefully your defense is going to be able to take care of some business. Now, we'll talk about Kevin Stefanski here in a bit, but I think that Mason Graham is going to be a guy that's going to be able to play well for you for the next decade. I think this is a guy, I was texting my buddies last night, well, my phone blew up, obviously, just like everybody else's did, and I said to my other buddies, because, you know, we have the coaches thread, and I go, this is a guy who's probably going to be playing for the Browns by the time our kids graduate high school. Our oldest will... He will be still a Cleveland Brown defensive tackle by the time that's all said and done, which is a big moment for the Browns because I think he's going to be a good, sturdy defensive lineman. But, of course, there are concerns about Julio Jones and Phil Taylor
sure.
in that year.
I get it.
I'll hear it out. I will hear it all out. But when you're getting offered a first next year, 36 this year, you got to do it.
It's an offer you can't refuse.
You got to do it.
It really is. We had the Godfather theme yesterday. It really is an offer. You have to sign off on a trade like that. It's a responsible thing to do. It's not what anybody wants who was on the fence about season tickets this year. I get it. And the Browns, finally, with that information, they were equipped with all that. The Browns know how hard this next season could be. It is all absolutely
I'm not selling
part.
You on great things for this year.
It's Mm-mm. all absolutely part Mm-mm. of what you just said, Ken. And I think it's important to understand. Like they are not going to be good this year. They are probably not, okay? I hate to do that, but at the same time, it was a disciplined move knowing that this was never the draft that you were going to make up for the Deshaun Watson mistake. Yeah. This was never it. It was going to be next draft. And what did they do? They stole a number one, a first rounder for a team that do you have any faith that Jacksonville with this new electrifying wide receiver / corner that they're going to use them right? All same questions we had about us.
Yeah.
And my God, I mean, Trevor Lawrence be a one hit away from the Browns having 2 top 5 picks in next year's draft. Are you kidding me? You want to talk about controlling the draft? Like they control tonight's second round. They control next year's draft the way I see it right now.
So it's been an interesting run here for Andrew Berry for the last 6 years because this is an organization that went from not caring about defensive tackles at all to where they took their first pick last year in the second round, taking Mike Hall. They're obviously number 5 overall pick in the draft. They take Mason Graham this year. They've addressed it with Malik Collins as well. This is a team that has gone from that to this over the last 6 years. So they're testing their guardrails, that's for sure. I'll say this. There's a lot of criticism to be waged at Andrew Berry over the last 6 years, and I don't think that he should have to run or be able to get away with any of it. But I think that this is something that's responsible, and I told you I would say this back in February, and I'm going to say it right now. He did what was right for the franchise. I don't know if this is going to mean, because I think they have the best intentions possible, and I know that they're going to be very, very patient. They're going to try to be very patient, but we have these plans in the month of April, and you know they get thrown out the window by the time November comes around. And so it's going to get hot, and it's going to get sticky, and it's going to be an angry fan base at times, because I don't think this season, this year, is going to go particularly well. But do you think it would have went particularly well had you taken somebody else there
in the top five. I think that Travis Hunter would have made a difference offensively. How much of a difference? You could have won some more games. Were you going to be a playoff team? I never once said that. So there's going to be some tough times here coming up in this season. But what I can say is that Andrew Berry made a responsible decision. They made a responsible decision. They got a great haul from Jacksonville, and they took what is going to be, again, a solid player. Right. I know he mentioned pass rush. I ain't going to talk about pass rush. I think he's going to be a very solid player to take in double teams and create opportunities for some of the other guys that are going to be playing around him.
Kenny, what I was nervous about, and I agree with all of that when it comes to Mason Graham, what his role is, whatever. This today is not about Mason Graham. It's about the acknowledgement and the Browns, when I say discipline, and I'm using terms like responsible, here is why. Kenny, what I was most nervous about, especially when Myles Garrett ends up just resigning, I'm like, are they going to delude themselves into trying to piecemeal something together with a tough cap situation? And I know the Browns have all the money in the world, the cash flow situation, the interest-free loans, all that stuff that the capologists will say. The reality is they're kind of in cap hell. If we're talking about competing for championships, they're in no position to do it. They did not delude themselves. They did not like triple down on a bad spot. They finally realized we have to start digging. We need the shovel. Now they've got the shovel.
Yeah.
They've got the opportunity now to truly make this thing get a full turnout, full scale, 33-36, okay? They've got the two picks in the third round, 67 their own, 94 from the Amari Cooper trade, and that first rounder next year. Yeah. They can get a boatload of talent and cheap talent. That is the key here, young, cheap talent to do this in the most disciplined way.
So I want to know from people today, last night's last night. You've had some time to think about this. The ranting and the raving. If you still want to rant and rave and tell us that this is stupid, please go right. Are you getting it right now? Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Are you getting anything right now with people hating this?
Oh, absolutely. People are talking about need right now. Grilliac on social media says, D-tackle wasn't even a top five in need. Your offense scored 15 points a game. You trade away premier talent for undersized defensive tackle. I don't think this was a draft about need. Need is when you're good. Need is when you're Kansas City and you're sitting there at 32, and what do? They take a chance on a guy coming off an injury from Ohio State, Josh Simmons, right? That's a need for a team that is competing for a Super Bowl. Get this need stuff out of your head, Browns fans. You're in no position to worry about need. You know what need they have? A quarterback. You know which draft didn't have the quarterback?
This year.
You know which draft is going to have the quarterback? Next year. So guess when you have to worry about need? Next year.
Tough talking tone. I love it.
Use your brains on this, guys.
And they got an awful lot to drop down three spots. The question is, did you give up a guy who's a potential Hall of Famer? It's going to be fascinating to watch what this kid does in the NFL. I would have liked to have seen him here. It would have been fun to watch. But I expressed during the show, early in the week, late last week, you're taking a real swing at a guy whose value seems to be in doing something that's never been done in the NFL before. Now, could he be the first guy to do it? Sure he could. And if he's truly, we're seeing comparisons. And well, he's Justin Jefferson on offense and he's Champ Bailey on defense. Really? Let's see him pull that off. Because if he's just a wide receiver and he's not Justin Jefferson caliber, well, then you probably drafted him too high. If it ends up going that way. And if he's just a corner, you probably drafted him too high. I think he's going to have to actually do both to justify the trade and maybe even to justify the draft position. Mm. That said, man, what a great fuchsia jacket he had on last night.
Oh,
did he
look
borrow
at you.
That from
you,
Slider?
You are just so worried about
things. Did he get
like
it from
that.
Slider?
Sure.
Would have been great.
Probably.
Additional thing.
I want to let you know Eric Edholm is going to join us at 11:20. Daryl Ryder will be with us for two segments today. We were going to do a big roundtable with him. That's a pretty big roundtable, if you ask me. 40 minutes of Ryder right here on Baskin and Phelps starting at noon. And then John Jansen, who's a color analyst for the Michigan Wolverines, can talk a little bit more about Mr. Graham. Again, when you take a look at the trade, I don't know. I just think there are three ways to look at it, right? Love it, hate it, or let's see. Can you think of another way to look at the trade?
There's only one way to look at it.
What is it?
Must see.
Well, no, I'm giving you three ways. So you're saying let's see.
Well, it has to be.
Okay, so I'm going to ask everyone that calls in today, love it, hate it, or let's see. Okay. Can I give them another option?
No, I don't. That pretty much
does it. It's either love it, hate it. So do you want to be counted in this? Do you love it, hate it, or let's see?
Well, yeah, there's no way to answer it other than let's see.
Okay, Jeff Phelps says let's see. Andy Baskin wants to say love it, but he's going to say let's see because he's smarter than say love it because you just don't know.
I got a text last night from a buddy who said, oh, my God, we just traded Julio Jones again.
I saw something like that, too. Maybe it was the same person. I don't know.
No,
maybe
it wasn't.
Okay.
And I thought, wow. And remember who they ended up with? Phil Taylor, defensive tackle. So you traded a Hall of Fame wide receiver and you ended up with Phil Taylor. That trade didn't work. Maybe this trade works because you did get, I mean, you dropped down three spots, Andy. I would have thought the price tag on dropping down three spots, just three spots,
right,
might just be your second round pick and maybe a fourth, something like that. You got next year's number one, which screams a lot of different things that we'll be talking about.
We are banking on Prince Charming having a very, very bad season next year too, right?
And that you're talking about Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Another buddy of mine called him Prince Valiant last night. I wasn't sure who he was talking about.
You know who that is, right? Spaceballs.
Well, I do now.
Now you do. You're good. Jim is in Cleveland. You can say what you want, but first answer the question. Love it, hate it, or let's see?
Because I'm smart, I hate it.
Okay, you hate it. Okay, congratulations on your smartness.
Yeah. Self-anointed. Nice.
Yes.
You know, you could have had Hunter, and you could have had Sanders, and you blew it. You blew it.
Well, no, you didn't blow it. You can have Sanders.
Sanders you can still have.
Tonight.
Yeah, but that's not both now, is it? You could have had both. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Browns? Who's going to throw the ball? Go ahead.
You tell me.
Exactly. Well, they're saying it's Kenny Pickett.
It's still to be determined.
I mean, look, if you end up with Arch Manning next year, are you okay with it?
Oh,
are you okay? I asked you a question. My question is,
if we end up with I don't know, Bart Starr.
I didn't say that, Jim. I asked you a question. If we end up with Arch Manning next year, would you be okay with that? That's the question.
I don't know. I don't. Well, maybe we'll have to.
I mean, you're assuming that Shedeur Sanders is going to be great. You're assuming that Hunter's going to be great too. You know that, right? You're assuming they haven't played.
I've watched
these guys play too. And I've seen plenty of guys that are outstanding.
How did Hunter
get
the
ball? Can you turn him down for a second? Oh my God. I'm not going to sit here and scream back and forth. You talk, I talk. Otherwise, it's going to be a super long day. What'd you say?
No, not a word. I don't want to cut in.
Tom is in Cleveland. Hi, Tom. Love it, hate it, or let's see?
Let's see.
Okay. What do you got?
My thing is, isn't there some stipulation when any quarterback's taken in the first round, they get that automatic fifth year added on to them?
Anybody taken in the first round. Anybody. It's not automatic. It's
five
just if you want it.
Contracts for first round picks.
Yes.
Well, I look at it this way. You know, what the hell does it hurt to let Shedeur go down to number 33?
Exactly.
And are you assuming they take him, Tom? Because I think that's a big assumption.
That's neither here nor there. They could take, there's a couple other quarterbacks that they can take.
Or you could take none at all and play Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco.
Exactly. You know, have to wait and see. But you know, I don't see what it hurts by letting him wait overnight. Let him rent a room with. With the portal money.
All right, Tom. Thank you. 216-474-0092. I'm going to wait till the end of the call then to ask the question now, Jeff. Don't let me forget.
Oh, good.
That way we'll get this will be much. It is truly a Browns Therapy Friday. Can you feel it, Jeff? Can you feel the love?
Yeah.
You don't like that. You don't like when I label things.
No, I don't. Well, not therapy.
No, it's totally therapy.
No, it isn't.
This is totally therapy.
It could be really
today.
Good. Well, it'd be really bad.
Can you stop assuming that therapy is bad?
I'm not assuming therapy is bad.
I just
think we should analyze the draft.
We're letting everyone else analyze it, too. It's their therapeutic measurement here in Northeast. It's a tradition that's been on for 13 years. We are here the day after anything big, like a game or the draft, and it is your opportunity to let everybody know, and it's our opportunity to sit there and try to figure out if you're a genius or you're an idiot. Todd in Ward 1. Hi, Todd.
Hello, Andy.
Hello, Todd.
Jeff.
Todd.
So they did half of what I wanted them to do. I wanted them to get back to the fifth pick. I just didn't think Jacksonville was going to let them do it. However, it is beyond me as to how on earth they passed on James Pierce. You do know the Eagles picked up Pierce, right?
Well, they picked him up at the end of the round. No, they went to the Falcons.
The Falcons got him.
He went to the Falcons.
Nah, James Pierce is with the Philadelphia Eagles unless they traded him to the Falcons.
The Falcons picked him at 26.
I thought the Eagles picked him at 26.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it's a Falcon.
Yeah, Falcons picked him at 26. Yeah.
Well, they recognized it. How is it that the Browns didn't recognize it? I know there's things that go on that they're just not going to tell us about.
There are all kinds of guys that are going to get taken, and everybody's going to think, oh, they should have got this guy.
Right.
You're only going to get a certain number of guys.
I'm accepting of that.
Maybe Pierce ends up being terrific. If so, good for him.
Todd, love it, hate it, or let's see.
I'm also accepting.
Now, you got to answer a question. Love it, hate it, or let's see.
Let's see.
All right. Let's see is doing pretty good. I'm very optimistic.
Andy, the only thing that could have been the only thing that could have been less exciting than
is if they would have traded out of the first round.
Then dropping down to 5 and taking a defensive tackle would have been trading down to 5 and taking an offensive lineman. Let's be fair about this. Oh, hey, you got a big dude who wrestled and can play in the middle of the defensive line. Now, he could be great.
Do we need help there? Yes.
Everything I've read about the kid, other than this, I keep hearing this. He's got short arms. Okay, great. Other than having short arms, and his arms are in part of the draft analysis.
You mean he doesn't like the tip? Or?
He's never reaching for the wallet.
No.
His arms are not good. Okay. Well, he was still one of the more highly rated players in this draft, and the Browns got him. And I love the idea of a dominant defensive line. Why? Teams with dominant defensive lines win Super Bowls. Take a look at this year. Mm. That's what happened. I get that. But it's not a real exciting pick. Now let's see what they do with that second round pick that they picked up from Jacksonville. And I'm expecting wide receiver, offensive lineman, running back coming up with these two picks high in the second round.
Tom is in Green Bay, home of the draft this year. Tom. Hi, Tom. How are you?
I got another option, whether you like it or hate it.
No, it's my game. It's love it, hate it, or let's see. Go ahead.
How about the Browns being the Browns?
Now, good answer, though. Love it, hate it, or let's see. Are you in Green Bay? Did you go last night?
No, it's a zoo. It's like the city wasn't built for a 250,000 new people.
No.
The roads ain't. Everybody went food shopping on Monday, and they're staying away from the stadium for the most part because it's a zoo. But the good thing
I got to tell you, Green Bay looked great on TV last night. So
Do you live in Green Bay, Tom, or are you a Clevelander?
People there don't know how to get around. You know, they don't know the side streets. So side streets are good, but no, I'm on the east side, and so I have to cross the river to go to Lambeau. So
yeah, it feels like when you go there, there's like that one big, you land at the airport, and if you're trying to get downtown, there's one big street, right? Like there's a freeway there, and then there's another street, and then you go right by the stadium.
You can run down Ashland or Oneida, and then hit Mason Street and get in downtown. And
Tom, you any good at Hammerschlagen? Are you any good at that game?
No.
That game scares me. I think you get somebody who's had a few too many. Next thing you know, instead of using a hammer, they use someone's forehead to try to put the nail into the block. That scares me.
Well, it's just so you know, there's not a lot to do in Green Bay. It's a small town, so hunt, fish, get autographs, or drink. And I don't drink, so it's like it's kind of a sad comment about Green Bay.
I'll move to Cleveland.
Come on. Come back home. Come home.
Okay, that's a good idea. I'm going to have to.
All right, so wait. You hate it, though. You hate it, though, right?
No, I'm going to wait and see.
Oh, like, you went to wait and see. I convinced you.
Yeah. The only thing is I worry about is, was there somebody else you could have taken instead? You know, like what about... You know, what about somebody else that you could have taken? I was thinking they were going to take a linebacker, but, you know, it's, hey, as long as they're happy with the decision, and, you know, it's like I tell everybody in Green Bay, Jerry Jones, Schneider from the Redskins, and the owner of the Cleveland Browns, they're all multimillionaires, and they drive these teams into the ground. They don't win Super Bowls.
There you go. Tom, thank you. Appreciate it. All right. Well, we're going to wait and see. I think so far, if you're looking for a score, 5-1. No one loves it, though, Jeff. So far, first segment, no one loves it.
Well, there's a lot to be determined here.
It's early in the show. Early in the show for that.
It's, if you think Travis Hunter is going to be, I hate the words, the generational talent.
Then the unicorn,
no
Jeff.
Way, then there's no way you're going to like
he's
this.
He's the unicorn. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Get it off your chest. Love it, hate it. Let's see. What does this do for the defense? We'll talk about that next. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan.
The show is back. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin. Say it with your chest. Say it with conviction. On Afternoon Drive. How in the hell are we doing today? It is a Football Friday. It is an F off Friday. Hell, it's just the end of the damn week, and we got to get into the whoa of last night. The Cleveland Browns trading down. I mean, certain people, I thought they were going to be surprised. They weren't surprised. You just never know what's going to surprise anybody in this damn town. But Mason Graham taken with the 5th pick. Oh, yeah, they picked up another second rounder this year and a future first rounder. There will be some Cavs and some Guardians talk at some point. We'll get to that later. But the Browns, I mean, shook up the first round of the draft. We got Jake Murren both on the board. Yes. Yeah. And behind the glassy knoll there, Anthony Alland. We'll get to him later, but he is going to be phone screening for us today and doing 2020s. Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. I imagine you feel pretty good. In fact, I know you feel pretty good because you have just been beaming all day long.
I mean, in reality, the last 24 hours and all of yesterday, amazing day. Right, we had the great event at Razzle's. Yeah. The sun was out. We got. I looked like Weekend at Bernie's. Nick Wilson. I'm just in sunglasses. Is he alive? Is he not?
Had a bunch of wings. That was fun too.
Oh, the best wings. I had a great hike in the morning, so I didn't feel like a full fatty when I was digesting the wings.
Yeah.
I mean, everything. Yesterday was the perfect day, and then at night you come home, and I mean, I've just been trying to push back on certain ideas. It's not that Travis Hunter wasn't a special player. No. It was that the idea of one of the things, and this is not just to me, this is not just a Nick was right, this was a we were right. One of the things we both pointed out at multiple points in the last 4 weeks is this is over the top what people are saying about Travis Hunter.
Right.
And this all plays into the Browns' hands. But no, it's set in stone. The Browns aren't going to trade down. And yet they did. And you know what? Before we get into any of that, because there's 5 hours. I mean, there's 5 hours. May I just say that I am proud of you?
Well, yeah. Why is that?
Because today you wore in your Shedeur Sanders number 2 jersey when you could, like a lot of people today who have said, oh, I saw this coming, or played one piece of audio where they said something could happen, but then, oh, I said it was going to happen.
Well, that's why it's really weird if all day today I'm like, I was right about this while wearing a number 2 Shedeur Sanders jersey.
While a lot of people are fronting
very,
today.
I'm very aware of how this went down for me.
And needing to be right, though they are, I mean, dramatically wrong. I mean, laughably wrong. The fact that they took all the Travis Hunter smoke and just inhaled it, and now today tried to take victory laps, not doing that.
That was after they took the Shedeur Sanders smoke, the Abdul Carter smoke, and then the Travis Hunter smoke, and inhaled that greatly as well.
They literally wanted all the smoke. But
and they got it.
For you to wear the Shed jersey
in
today.
It was a bet. I mean, it was a bet. That was part of the deal. Like, I'm not wearing this in support of Shedeur being taken number 33 overall, because I don't think that's what's going to happen, and mainly because Let's be honest with it. They're doing this differently. There was two ways they could have gone. This is the other way. It's not the way that I would have advised, but that's fine. It's neither here nor there.
Is there any part of you that is protecting your feelings on that one? Like, you're prepared for disappointment in case they break your ankles and take Shador 33 or 36?
No, I would just be very surprised. The hard part, you're trying to get inside these guys' heads, and apparently you're the only one that can do it.
I mean,
apparently you're the only one that can penetrate and get through.
People said that for a while.
I don't know that this is... I'm going to give you your flowers. I'll give you your victory lap, whatever you want to do with it, because you are the only person that was adamant for 4 months they need to trade down, mm-hmm. and you're the only person that for 4 months was like, this isn't it, they need to do this next year. Only person I heard do that. You see, the sobering part about all this, though, and the part that I think maybe at some point you're going to look around and say to yourself, oh, no. Do you want to be that in bed with the logic of what Andrew Berry is? I don't know. It would scare me, honestly, if I was that parallel thinking to a man that in the previous 5 years has drafted one Pro Bowler in the previous 35 picks, and no one trusts to even use these picks.
Nothing has made me second-guess myself more than everything they did last night I loved.
We both called for his job.
Yep. So you were talking, though, about
the... It's kind of scary if they nail it exactly the way you want.
You were talking about the come-down of, well, okay, I now have to accept where they are and what they're going to do, and now I'm a little sad about it. That's where I was in January.
And that's where I'm at today.
I was a stark raving lunatic in January for two reasons. One, I realized that the previous window was done. They had cooked it. The Deshaun thing blew this thing up, and they blew it wide open, and it was more than just a Diet Coke fix. But the other part of it was, at the time, the Browns were telling everyone it was just that quarterback. Even though we watched that team fall apart, but whether it's injuries, age, whatever you want to say it is, complete failure of culture. So to watch that organization go, it was all that, we just need a quarterback, we'll be back in it. Well, don't worry. If we just get a quarterback, we'll be in the playoffs and you'll be the idiot. So I was infuriated by those two things. So all the disappointment, I've already processed. Because now it's just, here's where I'm at. You did the thing that is the hardest thing to do. You accepted your fate.
Yeah.
At no point in the three previous years did they accept their fate that Deshaun Watson was cooked. And I didn't, guys. All right, I'm not going to start the show with an I was right, because I was wrong about Deshaun. I was squinting real hard against, maybe that one throw against the Raiders. I wanted it so bad because I didn't want the opposite to be true. And then the truth in January smacked me square in the chin, and I had to take the medicine. So the Browns showing you, Andrew Berry, guys, this was not a popular opinion in the moment. People were hair on fire, pissed off about it. Do you realize a franchise that already knows you want, and some of us want them gone, you realize how hard it is to do the long-term thinking? Like, I get it. You don't have to like it. This is where, because anytime you say anything, people are like, oh, well, you're co-signing. Actually, I'm co-signing this. But no, it's more the idea of this is not a self-interested move by Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. They could not. They could not be here. To make that pick next year.
They could be not here. This also could be the easiest way of guaranteeing them not only a chance to get this thing headed in the right direction, but then to evaluate a quarterback next year and then be able to see that quarterback's life through as well.
Yeah, could.
Like, if they had taken Shador.
Are you doing the Lima here? You're going to say could, so in a year you get to say you were right?
We're just playing out the scenarios is all. But, like, the reality is they could have taken Shador Sanders, and then if Shador had absolutely flamed out, guess what? They're out of a job and done. Like, the easiest path to extending their career. I hate the idea that this is motivating the best interest of the Browns. I think both things can be true. Sports radio cliche, so you know I mean it. But the idea that they actually can have their employment extended by waiting to take a quarterback is 100% reality.
So I just think Andrew Berry doing what he did last night, I think it took guts. You and I might disagree on that. I think it took guts. I think it took more guts than anything they've done. And honestly, I think it takes if you consider where you are now, I think it takes more guts than the Deshaun thing. They took no blowback. I mean, locally, they took minimal blowback for trading for Deshaun and moving for Baker. Comparative, because it was always, well, it's the Deshaun play. And if this works out, you're winning Super Bowls, right?
They took a lot of blowback, Nick.
You don't have, not, I mean.
For Deshaun Watson?
You also, no, nationally, yes. Locally, you had as much rah-rah as you did blowback.
There was a lot of blowback, Nick.
Last night was 80% negative.
That was a back massage.
It was 50-50 with Deshaun.
That was a back massage compared to Deshaun Watson.
Easy with that verbiage, it's there.
Oh, that was just subconscious. That wasn't intentional.
Good Lord.
That wasn't intentional at all.
I mean.
Just Watson, it just went, my brain went
who'd
there.
Who would have thought that I started the show out for blood and Peterlin would be the one to draw first blood? But no. So listen, I have zero problem if you don't like where the Browns are. I get it. It is a tough thing to accept. But I am overjoyed that the collection of media members, some of whom are on this station, who spent the entire offseason saying everything that could happen, right? But nothing that they thought would happen or should happen. It was just whatever the recent trend was, all in the name of, I want to be right, which is the worst trash you can actually be in sports talk. Like, no one gives a rip. There's no scoreboard. Yeah. And you act like you're above everybody if you get one thing right and you conveniently forget all the things you got wrong. So I get to turn into I was right guy today.
I was going to say, simply, it's going to be interesting because you're going to turn into simply, I was right to a T all day long.
Simply to shame the fraudulent bad faith actors who even today tried to tell you, we had this whole thing. Say it with your chest. Yeah, okay. I got something I'll say with my chest. I just won't say it on air.
I like how happy you are. I like how joyed you are. You should be, because they did the plan you wanted, and they're going to execute the plan that you wanted. For me, it's a little bit different today. Today is that sobering reality that this upcoming season is probably going to suck, Nick.
216-474-0092. Want to hear from you guys. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. I think that's a great place to start here. How different is your reaction today than last night? If you were one of the frothing at the mouth, and I get it. I understood that everyone brought into the Travis Hunter smoke, and some of you brought into the smoke, and so I understand the disappointment, but has your, whether it was a good reaction, bad reaction, has it changed since last night? We've got quick hits coming up at 2:40. Very heavy in the draft there. We've got Mary Kay Cabot at 3. We've got Mason Graham's defensive line coach from Michigan, Lou Esposito, coming up at 3:20. John Fanta. Guys, we're going to let you know what John Fanta sees coming up at 4:20. And we got the Mason Graham press conference coming up at 5. As we get you ready here, introduce you to the latest Cleveland Browns. I also want to know, or we want to know, where's your head at where it comes to the 33 and 36 picks? Send those in. And Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin, social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But how different is your reaction today than last night? And you and I will be doing the exact same thing this season. Me and the I Was Right crowd will be doing the exact same thing this season. We're just going to be doing it for opposite reasons. That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
One of the dads on my youth football team texted me. I'm not kidding you. They let their kid stay home, their son stay home from school today. He's that upset about the Browns trading out. He was that upset.
So had his heart fixated on Travis Hunter?
He had his heart set on Travis Hunter. They moved out, and then of course, he's an Ohio State fan, and they took the Michigan kid. And
okay, I do wonder. Okay, but he played well against Ohio State.
He's beside himself.
He did play well against Ohio State. So wouldn't you be like, man, if my national championship team couldn't block him, then he's got to be pretty good? Like, that to me would be the intuitive thing to do. I also want to know, the fact that Sanders kept falling and now he no longer is a first-round pick,
yeah,
kind of reaffirming what people were saying after the combine. It's not, that was not an assassination attempt on his character. Like, it really was, hey, this guy is a second-rounder. So with all of that said, does it make you feel better if you wanted Shador but saw how far there was a free fall?
Probably changed some things.
Did it change your mind? Because remember, me and you did like Shador.
Yeah, but I thought we were going to have to talk ourselves into somebody. I mean, the desperation part of that came out of that. Nathan Zagura joins us right now. Joins us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, good morning to you. Wild night. Hello.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
We're doing wonderful. All right, I was with you So I saw your reaction, but can you describe for everybody your initial reaction to the Browns and their trade down?
I was stunned with how much they got, to be honest with you. I mean, they moved from 2 to 5, and I would have thought that, you know, getting a future first-round pick would have been enough. But when they got 36 as well, I was, honest to goodness, I was floored. I mean, that's a quality, quality player in this draft, plus you got a future first. So the haul was great. I wanted to take Travis Hunter. I think that he is a unicorn. It feels like a lot of people think that he is a one-of-one type talent, maybe the likes of which we have never seen in the National Football League before. So I really wasn't pro-trade down. But we're going to learn a lot about what the Browns think about the quarterbacks in this draft today. And if the Browns don't take a quarterback at 33 or 36, that tells me that this was a one-quarterback draft to them, and that they were thinking about, we still need to address this. And so it was pretty forward thinking to say, all right, we're going to get a future first in 2026. They only moved down 3 spots. You know, Mason Graham is considered one of the 5 or 6 blue chip players in this draft. So through that lens, you get a blue chip player, which is what you need to do at the top of the draft. And you added a future first, and you added a quality player at 36. Now, everybody's going to look at what Travis Hunter's career is, and I expect it to end in Canton, but you got a lot to move back 3 spots, and I think the Browns feel good about that. Now, I believe that the Browns, and I've been saying on this show and on my show and at any show that I've been on, need weapons, and getting a defensive tackle is not a sexy pick. It's not a sexy pick. Now, I think the Browns feel like in our scheme he will be a more productive pass rusher than he was in college, but this is a guy that, you know, maxed out at 3.5 sacks and 7.5 tackles for loss. Now, he was double-teamed all the time in college. He will not be double-teamed lined up with Myles Garrett on that line. And the Browns, he was not asked to really be in a text front. He was doing a little bit more read and react. So that will change his ability, I think, to make plays in the backfield, and that's what the Browns are banking on. But this is not... It's just easier to get excited, I think, about skill position talent or certainly a quarterback, and that's not what the Browns got. The Browns are going to get an ultimate skill position player in Travis Hunter, and now instead they get that pick. So to me, because the haul slapped me in the face with how overwhelming it was, that I like that move. Now it's about executing, though. You need to make that extra first-round pick mean something significant. You need to make pick 36 tonight mean something significant. And I heard you guys talking before I came on about Shador. What's interesting about this situation to me is, and I know, Lima, you mentioned like at the combine, what became clear at the combine was that Cam Ward was the number one quarterback. But it was crystal clear as well that Shador Sanders was still the number two quarterback in this draft coming out of the combine and really through this whole thing. Yes, some people like Jackson Dart, and clearly the Giants like Jackson Dart, which isn't really a surprise to me because of how he fits what Daboll would want to do. I'm not saying he's Josh Allen by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a little more mobile, a little bit bigger, a little bit better arm. So I understand that from a stylistic standpoint. But there was no doubt that Shador Sanders was the number two quarterback in this class. And I could list, I did it on the show last night with Ken, all of the people that we talk to that are the draft experts, all of the people we talk to that are the personnel experts, Shador was the number two quarterback in this draft. I really think, I'm not saying you said it's not a character assassination, and I don't think that's what it is at all. I really think the fact that if Shador Sanders' name was Bob Schmohawk and he did not have a famous public-facing, in front of a microphone, father who is really the preeminent voice in college football right now, I think Shador Sanders has already been drafted.
Wow.
I think that there are a lot of teams that are worried about, okay, we're not playing him, Deion's doing a press conference. Okay, he's not playing well, Deion's then talking about how the coach isn't putting his son in good positions to succeed. And I think that's the biggest reason that he didn't get drafted. He is a talented quarterback. I mean, you've had so many people talk about he's the best pocket passer in this draft. Those things don't change. And I think everybody, if you go back to the initial mocks, for people who understand this league very well, he never got out of the top 10. The reason he's there at 33, I think, is not because of what he is capable or not capable of. And many people thought maybe he was a mid-first round, late first round, early second round talent, but that always pushes quarterbacks up. So you'd still be drafted in the first round. The fact that he's on the board now is not about his talent as much as it is about, in my opinion, what it means to draft Shador Sanders.
Kenny asked you what the wow was in response. I thought that was amazing perspective. Nathan Zagura joining us right now on the hotline. Is that all I kept hearing from the Shador haters was his last name is the only reason he's being talked about this high. And now you're saying it's quite the opposite. His name is the only reason that he's not getting drafted
as high as maybe his talent warrants.
Yeah, and I've heard that from a lot of people, not in our building. I mean, a lot of people just around the league that I talk to and whose opinions I respect, because talent-wise, he's a very efficient ball distributor from the pocket. I mean, and this is an offense that we have now that relies on that. So if you're the Browns, and again, it's going to come down to their evaluation of him, and then I think part of the evaluation now of Shador is, are we organizationally prepared to deal with the things that I just talked about? And I think we're going to find out what the Browns think of it, because quite frankly, if you had said to anybody on the planet, that the Browns could come out of this draft, and what I'm about to outline is 100% realistic and basically completely in their control, right? That you could come out of this draft with Mason Graham, Shador Sanders, Travion Henderson, Luther Burden, Quinshon Judkins, one of the great tight ends, Elijah Royo, Mason Taylor, and a future first, by the time that we get to pick 37 in this draft, people have said, you're out of your mind. But that's on the table right now for the Cleveland Browns. So we're going to find out, I think, immediately if they like the quarterback, and whether it is, you know, Shador or Tyler Shuck. I don't believe it would be Jalen Milroe at this point, but if they do, they'll take them. They still get an opportunity to get a great skill position player and weapon at pick number 36, and this could completely turn this franchise around. Now, if they don't, then you go, in my opinion, you get to get two of those guys. You can get Travion Henderson and Luther Burden. You can get Travion Henderson and Elijah Royo or Mason Taylor, or Luther Burden, Elijah Royo or Mason Taylor. You're guaranteed there's four spots. And those are four players that I've named that would be considered, you know, four of the best skill position talents in this league. Or maybe they like another running back, a Caleb Johnson, a Judkins. Maybe there's one of the other receivers, like a Jalen Noel they really like. But you have that opportunity now to address the biggest need for this franchise in a big, big way. And so we're going to see. But if I'm a Browns fan right now, I think there was initial shock over the trade. I don't think you can argue based on the return that that was a bad trade. I think most people would agree, and anything that you're reading right now, writing up about it, was that the haul the Browns got was, in many ways, they fleeced the Jags. Now, that trade is going to be Travis Hunter against Mason Graham, pick 36, and that future first forever. And so you need to execute on those assets, because they're just theoreticals right now. Again, I love Travis Hunter. I really wanted him to be a Cleveland Brown. They got what they got, and now they need to hit on it. But they have an opportunity to come out here, as I said, with a quarterback that they think is a real swing of the future, an elite skill position player, or if they don't like these quarterbacks, two elite skill position players. And that is, I think, should be exciting for Browns fans.
So I wanted to big picture this, because I came on at the start of the show, and I thought big picture was that this was an acknowledgement that they're not necessarily ready to contend right this minute, that they're still, as the owner put it, you know, less than a month ago, about having to dig out of the hole created by the Watson trade.
Sure.
That this pick last night, this move, that was the shovel to me. But I want to make sure I'm getting this right from you. It almost sounds like you're saying, regardless of what situation the Browns were in, you have to make that trade every time because of the haul.
So if you are a team, if the Browns were the Jags and you had Trevor Lawrence, you don't have to make that trade. I think you have to make that trade because you're a team that does not have that solution at quarterback. I think if you had a quarterback established already and you just happen to be picking up there, like if you were the Patriots, you don't make that trade. If you love Travis Hunter as much as I believe we love Travis Hunter, and the league clearly loves Travis Hunter, I don't think you make that trade. I think that is an acknowledgement of the fact that because of the Deshaun Watson trade, we don't have that quarterback. And so we need to put ourselves in a position, whether we get hit on it this year, you know, let's say at 33, we take Shador. And by the end of this year, we're like, oh man, he's our guy. Now you got two ones to add talent. I think but if you don't take a quarterback, or you don't get that feeling by the end of this year that, hey man, we've got our guy, you now have two firsts to try to move around next year and make something happen. I think it's more of an acknowledgement of the fact that we don't have a franchise quarterback than it is that we're in a rebuild,
so
if that makes sense.
Do you think that they can handle Shador Sanders here?
I think that his ability to fit in this offense, I think, would lead to a successful situation. And my short answer would be yes. It's not without risk. It's not without risk.
Clearly. Everything's got a risk. I mean, they were 3-14 last year. It's all risk.
Sure. But I think that we have kind of that. Clearly, we have an organization that is unified in what they're doing. And at the end of the day, as long as you're strong and convicted in what you're doing, whether the outside world agrees with it or not, is kind of immaterial. And I do think we have that. We have stability and unity as an organization.
Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know, Nathan, you mentioned a lot of names there, you know, really, really quickly. You like tight end. And I tell you what, this is maybe a Kevin Stefanski offense thing because you already have David Njoku. You mentioned the tight ends and Mason Taylor out of LSU, also Elijah Arroyo out of Miami. Some people are a little bit worried about Elijah's medicals there. But a lot of sure. 12 personnel, that conversation returns here about how to maybe protect somebody a little bit because – hey, if they did take a quarterback, number 33, say they did take Shador, you got to imagine one of those two tight ends would still be there at number 36.
Oh, absolutely. They would be. And I think there's a chance that, you know, Harold Fannin or Ferguson from Oregon are there at 67. Ooh. This is a draft, I think, where you can get those weapons. That goes back to last night. The one thing we talked about, and I'll just ask you guys really quickly, let's say the Browns at 5 took Ashton Jeanty, who is a weapon, who is considered, you know, one of the best running back prospects in a long time. I think that the vibe overall today is a little bit different than it is. Now, they believed, obviously, Mason Graham was there. You're seeing the write-ups, best defensive lineman in this draft, or defensive tackle certainly in this draft. But I think that that's what people want to see them score. Now, when we were on the show last night, had the Browns moved and there was rumors they were going to move from 5 to 10 as well, then I thought they were in a sweet spot to get Colston Loveland or Tyler Warren, and I was like ecstatic about that because I think in Kevin Stefanski's offense, and in this league, you're seeing, look at the Bears. They had Cole Kmet on their roster. They've got Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, DeAndre Swift, Caleb Williams, Ben Johnson comes in, and he's like, hey, how can we be mismatchy? How can we create advantages for us? Let's get another 10. And they draft Colston Loveland. And so now they're going to live in 12 personnel, and they're going to stress defenses. Do you want to stay in nickel? If you do that, we're going to be very able to run the football. That allows for that hard play action and big shot plays down the field. Or we're going to make you come in base to try to stop that run game and getting gashed on the ground. And guess what we're going to do now? Now we're going to have our tight end, Colston Loveland and Cole Kmet, against your linebackers or your safeties. And we're going to have them win those matchups because your linebackers cannot cover Colston Loveland. So I think the Browns have an opportunity with David Njoku and either Elijah Arroyo or Mason Taylor, if it's early in this second round, if they want to take a tight end or even maybe moving back a little bit off of 36. I still think you probably could get one of those guys. You have an opportunity to create those kind of mismatches because we'd all penciled in Hunter, right? At least I had. So you're thinking in your 12 personnel, it's Hunter and Judy, and then now you have an opportunity to add that tight end. But you need a receiver as well, and so that's why I mentioned Luther Burden as an option at this point. And there are other receivers, Trey Harris from Mississippi, Jalen Noel. There are a lot of actually very good receivers in this range, so you can bump that up. I think it's more likely that there's a really good running back at 67 relative to the running back available at 33, although I love Travion Henderson. I think that 67, if the Browns went, let's say, receiver tight end here, if they don't take a quarterback and then running back there, I think you're set. Your 12 personnel is looking really, really good. But to me now, at this point, it's got to be about scoring the football. It has to be about, we're the worst offense in the NFL, lowest scoring team. You have an opportunity to get those guys and get an offense that can dictate personnel to defenses, and I think that's something that Kevin Stefanski loves to do.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Nathan, thank you so much for the time. I'll talk to you. Well, I'll see you again a little bit later on as we go through day two of the 2025 NFL Draft on your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football, 92.3 The Fan. Nathan, thank you.
Thank you, guys. Look, Browns fans, tonight should be hopefully very exciting. Four players, two of the first four picks. This is an opportunity, I think, for all of us who wanted them to really address this offense. This is the sweet spot in this draft. I love that they got 36 tonight. Should be a lot of fun, and as always, a pleasure being on with you guys.
Thank you very much, my friend Nathan Zagura, again on that North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Joel, he's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. Ready for a little bit more insight on this, my friend?
I certainly am.
All right, let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Let's bring in a man that knows the first pick of the Browns very, very well from his days at the University of Michigan, Mason Graham. As he joins the Browns, we turn to the radio analyst, a man that played there, played for the Lions, knows quite a bit about the game, so we're excited to have John Jansen on the hotline. Hi, John, how are you?
Hey, hi, good afternoon. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing great. All right, so what did the Browns get last night? Tell me about our Christmas present.
Yeah, he is he's a guy that can take over a game. And I know you guys don't need that because you guys got Myles Garrett. But on the interior of a defense, he can have as much of an impact as you're going to see from the defensive tackle position. He could take on double teams. He could take one-on-one blocks, shed blocks. He can make plays down the line of scrimmage. We all want to see tackles for loss, and those are the headliners. The sacks are the headliners, and he's going to get plenty of those. But it's those hidden plays where he beats a double team and he stops something for no gain, and now it's second and 10. And, you know, he's a guy that works extremely well with other players. I think they're going to pair him up with Myles Garrett, and you're going to see T.E. Twist, E.T. Twist. He's a very versatile player, but the best thing about him is he is consistent. You're going to get the same thing from him every single day. You're not going to have a bad day, and he's just going to be a great producer for that defense.
John, your perspective on this is as good as somebody's going to get if you're looking for a perspective, because as a 10-year offensive lineman in the NFL playing right tackle and then watching Mason Graham play, you know, during his career at Michigan, the one knock about him that everybody said was, well, his arms aren't good. And I thought, did you watch the productivity? And then everybody said, but boy, can he play. And to me, that always gets back, you know, draft analysts look at all kinds of, you know, this. And I always think, yep, is he a good football player? This guy's a good football player. And some of those other things don't matter in your estimation, from what I can tell?
No, they don't. I get so annoyed when people talk about, you know, body measurements. And there's a place for that. There's no question. But when you play at a top program in college football and you play against other top programs, guys that you're going to be playing against at the next level, you turn the film on, and that's your number one evaluator. Everything else should go to confirm or deny, or however you want to see, you know, arm length, body weight, speed, all of that stuff. But the number one thing should be turn the film on. Can he play football? Is he productive against the best talent? And Mason Graham checks all those boxes. So not everyone is going to be cookie cutter. Not everyone is going to have the ideal dimensions. We're not always drafting guys that are fitted for a gold jacket to begin with, but we see guys throughout the course of all seven rounds that outperform the stereotype of their body fit and all of those different things. Mason Graham, you turn it on, and I don't want to ruin your ratings, but everybody in the state of Ohio knows exactly what they're getting with Mason Graham in big game.
No, I get it. It's the same reason why Ohio State fans for years should have always rooted for Michigan to win throughout the season, so the Ohio State-Michigan game meant more every year. It's the same. It's that same theory. And I got to tell you, the thing that I mean, look, I love Ohio State, but man, when someone comes to play for the Browns, I don't care where they played. I don't, and that's why I think that was bumming me out last night. I'm like, did anyone not see this guy destroy the Buckeyes time after time again? Look what they just got, and now he plays for the Browns. And that's, to me, that's all that matters if you truly love the Browns and you're in that position. So, Detroit, like,
me,
yeah, go ahead, go ahead.
You don't mind me jumping in on that.
Sure.
Let me give you a player's perspective on that.
Okay.
When I left Michigan and I went to the Redskins, now the Commanders,
right?
I played with Big Daddy.
Yeah.
And I played with Sean Springs. And those guys, to this day, some of my closest friends. But when you play with guys that come from Ohio State and you're a Michigan guy, when you play with teammates that are from Penn State and you're from one of those other two schools or Michigan State, what you know is that they understand what it takes to be successful at that level. You know that they understand what has to be done on fourth and goal. On either side of the line of scrimmage, they have been in that mix. They know it. You want those guys as teammates. Those were some of my best teammates. And you're right. It doesn't matter at all where you played college ball. And I mean, up here in Detroit, right? We just drafted, we swapped defensive linemen, and I couldn't be more excited to get Ty Leak up here because he fits our defense so well.
Right.
The affiliation with college, it ends when you declare for the NFL or at graduation. What you want is great teammates.
Yeah, it's not like you're walking through the press box and you see Jim Lachey and you're like, oh, I forgot the fact that he was probably one of the best Redskins too, and I can understand my world there. No, it's Ohio State, Michigan. I got right. You know, it's ridiculous. And by the way, the truth of that is, it may be like the week of the game,
guys might start, you know, ribbing each other a little bit. But, it, I mean, when you're in the pros, you're worried about your family, right?
Well, you are. And what makes the rivalry so fun? And fans, they could take it to a completely uncomfortable, unnecessary level. But guys that played in that game, when your teammates at the next level, all right, you make little wagers, right? Hey, if we win, you wear our jersey. You win, I'll wear your jersey. And it is as painful as it gets. But that's what the great rivalries are. They're historic, they're important, and they include great players and great moments. When you get to the next level, what do you want? You want great players, and you want more great moments.
Hey, as a former member of Washington, too, like when you look at what Jaden Daniels did last year, I kind of think that had a little bit of
have a mushroom, John.
You know what I'm saying? Like, psychological impact on this draft a little bit because he was so successful. And now if you're the Browns and you're looking for a quarterback, everyone's looking for the next him, right?
Well, yeah, and there's not a lot of next hims, right? Right. Everybody's looking for that every year. And honestly, the reason Cam Ward went back to and transferred to Miami, played another year of college football, because he knew he wasn't going to stack up against last year's class of quarterbacks. Now, all of a sudden, in a weak class, he becomes the number one overall pick. If you put him in last year's draft, maybe he's drafted ahead of Bo Nix. Probably not. And now he's the only quarterback, well, not the only quarterback, but the highest quarterback taken, only two in the first round. And we're looking at a draft like we had with Kenny Pickett, where there just wasn't a high-quality quarterback in that draft.
John Jansen joining us. He's the color analyst on the Michigan Broadcasting Network and also a former 10-year offensive lineman in the National Football League. Will Johnson is a Michigan player who has a big-time grade on him and big-time injury concerns, apparently, John. He's on the board. Browns have the first pick in the second round. Browns have already taken Mason Graham. They want a big defense. Would you take Will Johnson? Would you think about Will Johnson? Are the injuries a concern?
Well, that's going to be a matter of, the injuries are a concern. They're certainly a concern. And I know he missed half the season this year. He didn't perform at the combine or his pro day. And so they're a major concern. And he never played a full season at Michigan. When he's healthy and he is on the field playing, he is one of the best athletes on the field. He's one of the best football players on the field. The problem is if you can't make the club in the tub and you can't produce for your team, somebody's going to take him in the second round. Somebody, you know, and you're going to get great value if he can stay healthy. What needs to happen, and I'm sure the front offices have all done this, their investigation. How real were the injuries? How significant were the injuries? Are there any lasting implications from those injuries? Guys are drafted with ACLs, and not saying that that's it, but that's a much more difficult injury to recover from, and it takes a lot longer. Guys have shoulders, they have surgery. Everyone knows what the expected recovery time is. The mystery right now, and I think this is more in his camp, is the fact that no one knows. Their speculation, was it turf toe? Was it a hamstring? Is it now a knee? Like, what is the truth? And without knowing, as fans and as people who cover these teams, it's really hard for us to say exactly what it is. And so it's really going to come down to whoever drafts Will Johnson, they're going to get the potential of great value, very high upside, but the risk is going to be, is he going to be able to stay healthy at the NFL level? Because it is infinitely more violent, and the season is longer, the wear and tear is there. That's going to be the question that somebody has to answer. And wherever that equation works out, is it we're willing to take that risk at the top of the second? Or are we willing to take that risk middle second, late second, early third? I don't think he lasts that long, but that's where you got to do that equation. What does it mean for your team, and are you willing to gamble on the upside of Will Johnson?
John, you just mentioned the violence in the NFL game, how physical it is and everything else. Browns had a chance to take a guy that so many folks think, you know, could be this unbelievable talent that we've never seen in the NFL before in Travis Hunter. And I kept thinking, wide receiver at two? No. Corner at two? Probably not. Combo? Okay, but nobody's ever done that before. Can he pull this off?
I think he eventually can. I mean, it's going to be so hard because at the NFL level, it's not just about talent. There are a handful of guys that I've played with, whether it's Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, Champ Bailey, who just, I mean, God bless them with the DNA to play football at a level unbeknownst to anyone else. And but those were some of the hardest workers. They could have gone out there and just played the game, any position, and been outstanding. I don't know, in terms of film study and being able to master the corner position, it's hard for rookies. I mean, we don't see a lot of those guys come in and have 7-8 interceptions in a season. You know, and it's the same thing on the other side. You don't often see guys come in and they're instantly 1,000 yards receivers. So what are you getting on both sides of the ball? I think he certainly can. It's going to take time to develop on both sides of the ball. And I'm just not sure there's enough hours in the day to do that as a rookie. I think with Mason Graham, you get what you see, and you're going to get a very consistent player. You're getting a known quantity. And I think where Cleveland is right now, especially a known quantity that's not just going to be there for 4 or 5 years, he's a guy that you plug and play for the next decade. I think it was a brilliant move, plus the return you guys got. I want to know who was doing the negotiations, because I need that individual to be my agent now.
That was a big-time return. It really was.
It was great. Hey, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time, John, and we'll talk to you soon. Hopefully maybe a little bit more during the regular season. Love to talk some college football with you along the way, too. Thanks, man.
Give me a shout anytime. Love talking to you guys. Take care.
I think what's interesting about that is I've seen people that heard Andrew Berry's explanation of it, and it actually raised their pitch yesterday. But I do think a fair amount of fans who immediately, the second that it came out that the Browns were trading down to five, and then I do think a compounding factor was taking a defensive player, and one that I don't think any show but you and me talked about, in Mason Graham.
In fact, we talked about him so much, we gave him a nickname and then revoked that nickname.
We did. And again, if you want to hear that one, go back to about 3 months ago. We tried it.
We banned it.
But it just didn't work.
And I still think it works.
I just don't.
It's just a little problematic, is all.
I think we like being employed more than we like having a
Jake,
being,
should that nickname stay banned?
I'm having a hard time remembering what it is.
Then yes.
Wow.
Then yes, it should.
So memorable,
it absolutely
huh?
yeah. should.
You really don't remember it?
No, I don't.
But right. it's so.
I'll tell you between the breaks. I know it's problematic.
My entire view of the draft, the night one of the draft, was shaped by the cojones on Andrew Berry to make that trade. I really don't think that. Like, wait, I know it's hard to give that dude credit, but like, it was obvious to you and me. Because we talked about this on and off air for the last 2 weeks.
So many times.
It was obvious how Browns fans were going to be upset if it was Abdul Carter at 2.
Well, and everyone just built themselves up. But the obvious part was the Ohtani line.
Yes.
I mean, the unicorn line. Like, he was telling you without telling you. And again, we spent how many days being like, this is not how he normally does this. I got so many texts with different friends over there, like, cover different teams, and me being like, he's a wild card.
Yep.
He loves to shake it up for a reason, and he doesn't speak this way about players. It's just never. It was very clear that something was up, and now we find out today that apparently the deal's been done since April 7th.
Yeah, that one was interesting. I mean, I know they've been working on the deal for a minute. That's another thing that I'm mildly impressed about.
That they kept it in-house.
If it really has been done in principle for almost a full month. One, you just earned massive flowers,
I mean,
in the NFL offenses.
It's impossible to be able to pull that off. Like, think of the people that got duped in this process in believing that. We had Albert Breer, who's one of the more trusted, more inside people you'll ever find. That's why we have him on every single Tuesday. On Tuesday, he said this pick was a lock.
Yep, and I'm going to tell you right now, there is a troll element to what the Browns did with this. And maybe this is because it worked out. And I'm not saying they trolled you guys, because I don't think the Browns think like that. But I think they enjoyed making a fair amount of media members, not just in this town, but nationally, look pretty stupid with the Travis Hunter to the Browns at 2 is set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, they strung a lot of people along. But again, they've been doing this they've been doing this for a while. Now, I do wonder what the motives are if they had the deal in place since April 7th. I do wonder why they went out and spoke the way that they did. Was it to get anything extra out of Jacksonville? If the deal was in place, that doesn't seem necessary.
I wonder if it was just part of the, hey, if you're asked about him, make sure to talk him up kind of thing. Like, as if they came out and, I mean, listen, the whole You might have had the deal done in principle on the 7th. You weren't completing it until you were on the clock.
Like in a sad way. Yeah. No, but that's the other part of that, too, is you do have to make sure that the deal makes it to the finish line. I guess it could. I guess if you came out and you said something that was negative and then negative Travis Hunter stuff came out there.
Or even just neutral.
Well, yeah. But like the GM for the for Jacksonville, what's his name? Gladstone.
Yeah.
He could easily just take it back then.
Yeah.
The same way the Browns, if they got a better offer, could have easily just revoked it and said, hey, sorry, 34-year-old new GM, first-year GM, this is how the league works. Welcome to the NFL.
216-474-0092. Also, the open in today's show was brought to you by the Browns Radio Network in ESPN. So we asked a question, how different is your reaction today than last night? Doc in Alaska saying, I may have overreacted. I still hate the pick at 5. At 5, you should get a difference maker.
There are so many people that hated that pick.
And
we're so mad last night that I feel like I've calmed down today.
We'll get more into this with the Mason Graham thing.
It's got nothing to do with you, Mason Graham.
Like, stop gauging whether you think the guy can pass rush off of 9 career sacks. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how anyone watched the Michigan game and didn't come away with Mason Graham was the best football player in the Big Ten this year. Best draft eligible football player. We do love some Jeremiah Smith here. Had to walk that one back. But no, I mean, Mason Graham on a defense the last 2 years that has been loaded with NFL players was the apparent best defensive lineman, best football player that they've had. J.J. McCarthy was a top 11 pick. Like, think of all the top 15, top 20, top 32 picks Michigan's had the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Mason Graham was the most disruptive player they had. He is a really good football player. I don't like the painting of him as a high floor guy. Mike saying, I've calmed down and I'm getting geared up to be upset again.
Yeah. I mean, I feel you. I it's such a hard day for me because I want to balance out the idea that you nailed it to a T. You've had this thing right for 4 months. Well, I mean, you've had Andrew Berry and what the Browns are going to do right for 4 months. Obviously, the draft will tell us exactly what.
They still have to hit on the picks.
And they do. They have to. And that's the hard part that's another angle to this, too, is a lot of people have a hard time with the idea of, like, great, you acquired a bunch of picks, and you won the draft, so to speak, but then it's still Andrew Berry making these picks.
Well, and
we don't have much faith in that.
Specifically to that, when we talk about the trade, everyone's like, well, you feel comfortable with him making these picks? I'm like, well, if the first three guys on this draft aren't obvious NFL football players throughout the 2025 season, Andrew Berry won't be making the picks next year. This isn't about, for Andrew, it's not about wins and losses.
Oh, you see, I think there's a long play here. And I think this is part of why they didn't take a quarterback, as I alluded to in the first segment. The idea that I don't know that they'll feel like, I mean the Haslams, they can fire Andrew Berry without giving him an actual crack at having a real quarterback on the roster and having him to go.
Is whatever that they told him, is that written in their blood?
No, listen, I told you how long have I told you this? If you're trusting Jimmy Haslam in this process, you're a dope. I would never trust Jimmy Haslam for the job security portion of this. But if you're Andrew Berry, I could easily see how he thinks that until he picks an actual quarterback, the clock doesn't even really start yet.
I do think there's something that myself and Travis Hunter stands. The people are there very upset last night that thought Travis Hunter was going to single-handedly save the Browns organization.
Or at least be interesting and fun. Yeah. I don't know about save the Browns organization, but that's part of what got robbed from us last night, is that there was something that was interesting, there was something that made the Browns watchable, there's something that, Travis Hunter alone was worth 2 primetime games this upcoming season. Now that's just, it's gone.
I don't know if we're going to want this team on primetime. There's literally no difference.
Not this
difference.
Team, not without Travis Hunter.
There's literally no difference in the win total from Travis Hunter to Mason Graham.
No, but there's a fun difference.
I don't. Okay.
And that matters for people.
No, it does, and that's fair. I think it's fine if you want the fun part of this, but I think the similarities between myself and Travis Hunter fanatics, people who are upset today about this move, we're going to be doing the same thing this year. Because I got shouted down. I was like, guys, he's not a finished product. There's some risk here. And then anyone who bought into all the various reports about this guy being the second coming of both Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice, we're all going to be watching Travis Hunter. And if Travis Hunter puts up 1,500 yards and 8 interceptions this year, your boy's going to be eating some stuff on it. If Travis Hunter has 700 yards receiving, no interceptions, and maybe just kind of looks like a rookie that's adapting to the NFL, Well, you will see an I Was Right Vengeance tour most of next year.
Well, we're also going to have it mean, it'll mean twice as much, because we'll be watching Jaguars games just as much as Browns games this year.
You know, the funny thing is, I'm going to watch the stat line. I'm not going to go out of my way to watch extra stuff.
I'm watching. Oh, what do you mean? Like, I watch everything. Well, I'm going to watch this.
I guess my point is, I'm going to be following his trajectory the next couple of years very closely. It is only to go, oh, hey, remember that sure thing? Like, that's where my head's at with it. To me, this is not Julio Jones and Phil Taylor. Like, they went from six, and Julio Jones was the last of six potential franchise players in the top six of the 11 draft to 26, and then it trade back up to get Phil Taylor, which was wild because they have one of the third rounders to do it.
It's a good thing we had Thomas Dimitrov on last week.
Last week it was Tuesday.
That was a
20 pick drop, and the difference between Julio Jones and his grade and Phil Taylor's was night and day. I looked on ESPN. They had Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter both rated as a 94 grade prospect. They had Cam Ward 92. They had Will Campbell as a 92. You know what they had Mason Graham?
93. Yeah, I mean,
so that virtually not,
the only
not
person
no,
I can find that said anything bad about him, Nick, is Brian Baldinger,
which is another thing that made me second guess myself in a Herculean level.
The only one that has said anything at all that's wrong about this player. But it's not about him, though. It's not about him. It's about the position that he plays, and it's about taking Travis Hunter away from people when for 2.5 weeks you basically convinced everyone that Travis Hunter was going to be the guy. And there's an acknowledgement here too, as well, Nick, that next year is going to stink. And it's fine. We have to take a couple steps back to take a few steps, maybe like 12 steps forward, and it's what you have to do, but that doesn't make the fun factor any less.
216-474-0092. How closely will you track Travis Hunter's career over the next year or two? Guys, if Mason Graham is really good and the Browns get a number one pick 5 years from now, we won't be talking about Julio Jones and Phil Taylor. Let's go with, where do you want to go on this one?
Oh, I hate when you do this because then I feel like I'm robbing everyone else.
Where do you want to go?
But Carl seems great.
Carl in Springfield, welcome to the show.
Well, Carl's always great. What's up, boy?
What's up, Carl?
What you got?
I am over the moon with what we did. It sounds to me that I think Browns fans just want to be miserable no matter what happens. We trade all of our picks to try to get Deshaun Watson, and we hate that because we gave up all of our assets. We trade back to get assets. We hate that. We should have taken somebody that is an impact player. You know who's Mason Graham's going to make an impact on? Our linebackers, who aren't going to have guards running clean to them every single play. He's going to make an impact on Mike Hall and our other pass rushers. It's like, you have to know what you're looking at in the game of football and not just the fun guys on the outside or things like that. And for all the people that are the Travis Hunters and, oh, well, you know, why not take Genty and things like that? That's like when you slice your drive and then you punch your three wood through the trees and make a great shot, but then you still three putt and score a seven on the hole because the rest of your game sucks.
Been there, Carl.
Matter. Have you been watching me golf recently, Carl?
Exactly. One good thing familiar. That you think is great is not going to make the rest of everything better. What we did is great. We fleeced Jacksonville. We got a great setup for next year. We got a fun night tonight. Let's go get a running back, a receiver, and let's keep it moving.
Carl, we appreciate you, buddy. I do love. I mean, here's the thing, guys. It's a shame they only have two picks in the first five picks of this draft. Emin Wari, the kid from South Carolina, is a stud. Mike Green, I honestly can't believe the edge.
We got to talk about Mike Green. You want to do it now?
I don't think we have time, but I like me some Mike Green.
I'm worried about the character issues.
I mean,
if anybody takes a chance on a character issue guy, it's the Browns.
That's a really good point. You know what? All right. But Mason Taylor, Luther Burden, like they're legitimate. Like maybe day, not maybe. I'm not going to couch that. They're legitimate day one starters available right now, and I haven't even gotten to some of the running backs that are available there. 216-474-0092. How close will you track Travis Hunter's career going forward? This is about Mason Graham. This is about what happens with that number one pick. We're going to take more of your reaction and quick hits coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.